Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Is for some reason. And the good thing for me and the amazing feeling for me is that I am exactly in the same page as the owners, as Mr. Woodward, as Mr. Arnold. We are exactly in the same page. We agree in everything. We know that we have a process. We agree in the investments. We agree that we have what we have. The investments we are going to do are going to be progressively season after season. We need more than the investments. We need also the time. We are exactly in the same page. So,
hello, it's Red News Podcast 91, and it's a bit late on Thursday evening because we've been waiting for Nick. I don't know whether he's been having a shit. I don't know whether he's gone to the gym, but he's like a lordship now, and we have to bow down and wait for him to say he's ready. Coggy's away, so I may as well get his Wolves mention in now, so he'll be on the next one. And we might get, I'm going to ask Jav, Graham and Finno, they've been asking to get on around the Newcastle game, but you're stuck with me, Nick, Nathan and Shane. Loads to get through because, as ever, a quiet couple of weeks in United. And it feels mad because I try and be, not devil's advocate, but try and just be a bit reasonable. And United has been doing my head in. But I look at the news and I think the world's gone batshit. Get a perspective on it. But United from, I'm not even mentioning the Spurs, you know, the Spurs debacle. I tried the transfer window. The squad is better than a year ago. So that's bizarre. I do think the squad is better than a year ago. But what Shane was saying constantly is others have improved and we haven't gone enough. And Ollie has been so badly let down. But I just felt numb with it. And, you know, they briefed for all this time. You've just heard at the start of that, Jose, that was the March when we played Brighton in the FA Cup, that fucking freezing day, him saying he was on full, you know, unity with the board and we've got this plan. And then we know it went shit that summer. And I feel exactly as we did in 2018, buy the mag, please. It's finished. It's at the printers. You get a badge with it. Please support. But I just feel deja vu is what my right in the mag. And I feel like we've just fucking shot ourselves in the foot with a lack of ambition. Cavani, you know, I've always wanted him. I've not always wanted him at 33 years of age as a desperate signing where he's even quarantined to show that we just pick names out of a hat. And Woodward is just a disgrace. And you may as well accept while we're here, while they're here, while he's doing that job, this is what we are. It is not going to change. And the thing is, you know, I've seen unsubscribe from MUTV and that ongoing dance. We are not at the ground. None of us are giving them a penny for a year, possibly more. And it's not going to change. They're going to decide when they go. And it just feels, and I hate myself for getting, like, listening back the last one, as emotional as I felt. But I watched the Spurs almost like a car crash when you drive past and you see it in slow motion and you thought, we're in big trouble because you don't turn that sort of results around. And I felt for Ollie. I was saying, this is a long waffle, but I'd made notes as usual for this. The Brighton game, what worried me was when they scored, he looked at the screen. He didn't go on the touchline. It's almost like he's fucking obsessed with that screen. And you've got to criticise. He's put that, our team should be doing better than they have. And there's something not clicked from them being tired to now. But he looked at a screen and I thought, that's amateurish, that. React, get on the touchline, start making. And it's like we do not have any game management at all. And I will say, for the last thing, we were driving the other day in a car and there was a cricket game going on. Like, you know, not just mates, but obviously they were all in the whites. And we were stuck at traffic lights and I just gazed at it for about 45 seconds. It's the first live fucking sport I've seen since March. And I was just like, and I couldn't wait to see what the delivery was, the bloke bowled. So from all my things saying, I wouldn't want to go to any sport if it's back. Fucking the way I watched that cricket game was. Right, so I'm going to go to the lordship first. Nick.
Well, actually, in theory, it's your first live sport since February because you didn't go to any games in March because you couldn't get in.
Please.
So it's actually a month longer than what you were saying there. So
please not. Please let this one go. I'm not in the right frame of mind for this. Go on, Nick. Come on.
Do you know what? I kind of felt strangely buoyed after the Brighton game. I mean, watching it, I knew we were a bit of a shit show and I thought we were right, don't get wrong. But we still had the ball in the net five times with the two disallowed goals. And I was quite thinking, well, we've still got this attacking thing. This is what we're going to be. You know, we've not reinvested in the defence. And I just thought, you know, it still can be a little bit more of the same. Ole still had some sort of confidence in his defence, I guess, from last season, having a decent defensive record. As we've already discussed, he's probably better than what our defence is. So I thought, you know, moving forward from here, I thought, okay, it's still a bit of pre-season for them, you know, get the first couple of games out of the way. And I was hoping by the Spurs game it was going to be a bit more cagey than what it was. So to come back down, crashing back down to earth with that, you know, accumulative with the transfers as well, it's just made it a bit of a shit show, really.
I feel like that, you know, I'm mentioning the breathing space, but I can see it all unravelling. You know, like you can see a future ahead of you. I can see Ollie gone by Christmas. I just can't. Maybe I'm so flummoxed, you know, in a few wins, but I can't. Where we couldn't see after Burnley that run coming together, I cannot see. He probably got the best he could out of that side, and I know we, you know, Cavani, but we're not playing Donny. His agent's always already kicking off about him not playing. It doesn't look a happy camp. Maguire's getting slaughtered. I like Maguire. He's played terribly, but he needs a better centre-half alongside him. He does need to show leadership. But they just look so lacking. And, you know, Pogba smiling away. I know that's a defence mechanism, but it's like, have we played this fucking song enough times already now? Shane?
Yeah, I think kind of, like we said endless times, and I don't want to be defeated, but I've kind of been long since resigned that it's always going to be, we're not going to be at the level that Man United should be under the ownership and with the structure of the club, at least we've got. But notwithstanding that, we should be better than Sunday and better than the season so far. So it's kind of, you know, the two are not exclusive. But I thought the players let him down on Sunday, and it got, whether it's the fragility, you know, the mental fragility that I've said before, you know, we're quite fragile, or it's just the players have lost faith in Ole, I don't know. But I just thought that was the most alarming thing, that they capitulated so easily on Sunday. And, you know, defensively, like on Sunday, it showed up why we needed a centre-back. I think the Ed Woodward, you know, this transfer window, it's yet another window where we flirt with big names. Like, in a way, if you look at it, we bought a defender, we bought a promising Dutch midfielder who's, you know, played at the top level Champions League, and we bought a couple of promising youngsters, and we got a, you know, so when you look at it that way, you think it's been a, you know, not a bad transfer window, but there's all this bullshit that goes along the way about we're going to get Sancho and this, and it just happens every window, and other clubs are more efficiently and effectively going about their business quietly, or they don't shout from the rafters they're going to sign these big names, and that. So I just think it's a bit poisoned at all levels at the moment, and that's the sad thing. I thought Sunday was obviously a low, low point, and I think it was bad enough that you really feel for Ole, as you said, Barney, that, you know, he's got quite a hole to dig himself, or the team to dig themselves out of now, and I do fear for him after that. Like, they definitely need a result quickly now, and they need a run, and it's difficult to see that coming, but I guess on the plus, like, it cheered me up a little bit today. Obviously, we can't go to games, but it was a bit low on Sunday. But I was talking to, you know, my lad, as you know, he's 17, and we were talking about, you know, not being able to go to games. But today, he was hammering upstairs, and I went up to his bedroom, and he was putting United pictures back on the wall. They'd been, you know, it got decorated a year ago, yeah. And he took them down. And he's 17, I thought, he's grown out of it. And he was putting pictures back on the wall, and it kind of gave me a little lift, and I sort of said, oh, you're putting them back up. And I sort of said, you know, do you ever regret, you know, inheriting United from me, and et cetera? And he actually said, no, not at all. Like, you know, and we had a chat, and his point was, our bad is still better than most of the others. And it gave, But that gave me a little bit of a lift, really, thinking, you know, United being crap is still better than anything else for me.
Yeah, but I'm going to play another clip here, which is then Jose as well. Sorry, I think you know. I know none of you want to face Jose now, but of him saying, you know, the expectations, and we've had this constantly, but United fans should have high expectations. If the deal with the devil is, if they do all these deals around the world and you're whoring us out and the billion fans fallacy, then we have a right to kick off a bit more than we would have said in the old days, because our United now is nothing resembling what we grew up with. I will say, I watched the game with Albert and he fucked off at 2-1. And then he came in and trying to explain Martial, who was his favourite at the moment, and going, well, he's been put on the naughty step. And then he's just fucking, I know it's like fucking pathetic pansy slaps across each other, but I'm going to Albert, don't be doing that at school tomorrow. Nathan, what worry, you said Brighton had five, you know, hit the woodwork five times. So it's not like Spurs was a freak.
On Sunday when we were chatting in the group during the game, and I know I always come across as negative in this, and that was said on Sunday that I was negative again, and it's like, oh, it's, I don't know, like, I think it was 2-1, wasn't it, after 6 minutes, and you said it's mental, and I said it is mental, but at the same time, it's not out of the ordinary that's happened. That 6 minutes was a microcosm of our football in a way. It was like we get a penalty because we always get penalties. We score a penalty and then we concede goals because we've got a terrible defence. And those 6 minutes, as shit as they were, that just summed up what it feels like the way that we are at the moment. And is it negative that I would don't like that? I don't know.
But Nathan, don't apologise. We're all in that fucking dinghy now.
That's what is happening. And it's just, I don't know. It's just,
we've all joined you now, mate. Don't worry about that. But the thing, I feel like we're in an episode of The Twilight Zone, because how many times can we say Luke Shaw?
I sent a little, I don't know if it's a meme or whatever you want to call it, a few weeks ago, where it was just a diagram, going round in a circle of, we get Champions League, we don't kick on and sign anything, we sit on the laurels of getting Champions League, we drop out of the Champions League again the next season, we sack the manager, things start building again, we get to the Champions League and then it starts again. We don't do it and then it goes round and round in circles. And like you say, it feels like that's exactly what's going to happen again. Because like Shane said, on paper, we've made some half-decent signings. Like Nick said the other day, would we have made all those signings the other day on the last day if the Spurs game hadn't have gone that way? I don't know. Were some of them already planned to happen on that day? But it just feels like exactly the same thing is going to happen again, that we're not going to get the Champions League this year and we're back to square one again.
And the kids, I think everyone's encouraged by the kids we've signed for the hope, but you don't want to fucking throw them off the ship as well and suddenly put them in an emerging shit show. You want them to have time. I can't say, Cavani was, you know, we went from Sancho, number one target, cultural reboot to, is Dembele available? Cavani, what's your phone number? You know, it's just an absolute joke. But it's a mic, as you said, the microcosm.
There must be a reason that he's been a free agent since June, or was it a bit earlier?
Yeah.
And no one has signed him until we came in and got him on the last day of the season.
But the 20 million for him...
We've been linked with the likes of Sancho and stuff. Like, yes, we probably... The people in the club didn't want to sign him, but I'm sure that Woodward is happy that with all the tweets and all the social media numbers of us being mentioned with all these players, because that's what they work off, isn't it? It's just all numbers.
But someone said that that's ridiculous. Probably they will claim that deadline day we won. You know, Richard Arnold will say we're fucking champions of deadline day. It's just in but you know, like maybe if we were going Newcastle, I'd be buzzing Cavani in a United shirt. But the feeling that we're not there, I just think the desperation of it. You know, like the 20 million we're giving him, 10 million agent fee, 10 million wages, put that to the fucking Sancho cost. And if you have, you know, we have 800 scouts or whatever with scout. Grealish, if he was 80 quid and Ollie, 80 million and Ollie was keen, then there's your target. So you go through it, you say, Dortmund told you a date. Dortmund told you a date. So you knew, then you go to plan B.
From the start.
But it was almost like Ed thinks in his head, he's like fucking strutting like John Travolta Saturday Night Fever going, hey, we're in now. It's my, you know, what does he think when he, what does he think of himself? Nick?
Do you know what though? I think before this window started, I was quite buoyed. And when Van der Beek came in, I was still thinking that that's the kind of player that we should be signing, you know, someone that's coming from a club that's on the up. I just really felt that we were past all this bullshit and I really thought that we were turning a corner, and to see it go to such a shit show, and it's so easy to blame it on a pandemic and stuff, but we're still United and we've still got all this money. We still should be getting business done when you see people like Chelsea spending the money that they are. You know, treatment's fantastic. If they've got a player that they want, they go out and get them. And I don't understand how we don't do that. And after all this time, after, you know, 7+ years or whatever it's been now, it's just continuing to be a shit show over and over and over again. And the only good thing that's come out of this deadline day is that we don't have to see Martial up front all the time now. At least we've got an extra body in there, in Cavani, where we can't be any worse than that lazy bastard up front.
But that's exactly the thing is, once he takes Martial's role, then we're going to go back to the fucking he feels snubbed and he's going to have the And we can't keep, you know, like Pogba. It's just a joke. We may as well just not talk about him anymore because it's a fucking joke. It is unbelievable.
We're bored of that now.
Luke Shaw's a defensive, you know, liability. How many times does he get done on the flanks? I tell you what, and like people saying we've signed Tellez, you know what I think Ollie's planning? He's planning bunker down and fluke results. And I think he's going to play a five, your five back at the back that you like, Nick, that you don't like, but you do like. And he's going to put Luke Shaw left side centre back. I've got it in my head that he's going to play that against Newcastle. And he's going to see Tellez and hope one. And it's still going to be the same issues. You know, like we're going to be having this conversation for fucking eternity.
The thing is with the back five, though, we can see less from crosses. The back five, and at the moment,
every
single thing is a cross that goes in. Every single match is there's always a cross.
Yeah, but where's the coaching? One. You know,
Spurs was a couple more.
We're going to Ed, and we're going to the Glazers, and we all love Ollie. That's not in doubt. I so want him to succeed, but come on, this, you know, the coaching to concede that amount of goals. You'd be saying 3 months ago, like Seville, you cut that out. What we're going to work on is getting done on the flanks, bad positioning. This is what we do for the new season. But you get done at Brighton and you carry on. You get done against Palace, before that. You carry on. That what is the fuck is going on? And Shane, go on. I didn't know if Nick was laughing or crying then.
There's one thing I don't like to do is, you know, whenever we have a bad result, sort of certain players get bashed, the tactics. But question marks have to be said about, you know, they can't be that bad defenders that, you know, they're really basic errors. And, you know, like I saw a clip video today, and I don't like to do the social media thing, but one of the fan channels or something, there was a video doing the rounds on Twitter, and it was obviously you can hear the players shouting because there's no crowds. And someone had picked up, you know, the mic behind the goal, and it was De Gea shouting, you know, for their second or third goal. And De Gea was just shouting at Shaw, and I was kind of, oh, this would be interesting. And you kind of expected him to sort of say, get goal side or something. He was just saying, Luke, run, run, run. And the goal goes in, and he's like, what's up with you? And I'm thinking, no, all he's doing is asking a player to run And, you know.
But that, even that is too much sometimes to Art Little Shaw. And he was our player of the season a year and a half ago, whenever it was.
I don't want to sort of, like, I like Maguire. And it, like, he did improve his last season, but I do expect more from him.
Yeah, for 80 million, it's a fucking...
He's an established England player. I know you might get dragged down by those around you, but he's not looked convincing enough for me yet. And I know it's a big step up to United, and that might take time. But I just, and you know, if you think of our close season, and it's not, you know, it's a bit like in the olden days. If Roy Keane got into an issue in the nightclub, it's kind of forgivable if on the Saturday you go out and you put a performance in. But we had a limited close season. I know the players need a break, but there was just too many things going on. You know, Greenwood, all right, he's young. Maguire getting into that scrape in Greece. I just kind of think there's just a little bit of,
something's up.
A bit ill discipline in the club where you think, actually, you know you've got a tight, you know, window turnaround, quiet, discreet breaks. But those players had a big break, you know, before, during lockdown. I just kind of think it's all got off on the wrong footing. And hopefully, you know, with a few games, they're settled down. But I just think they haven't helped themselves, the players, really.
To sum up the madness, we are now paying £500,000 a week just on goalkeepers, one of whom doesn't want to be here. Yeah. I mean, if anything sums up, the bonkers.
I don't understand why they didn't let him go.
I mean, he's releasing a hostage video going, please release me, let me go. And we're going like, what are we saving him for? what competition have they not... Are they telling, you know, like suddenly, are we back in the Europa League and the Champions
Unless
League?
I'm genuinely worried that with it being Everton who... that were the only ones that seemed to be really interested in taking him, that they didn't want him to go because they're a genuine rival for position this season. And they didn't want to sell him for them.
They're better than we are.
Yeah, I know, but like that's the only thing that I can feel is the only reason that they wouldn't do it. Because why else would you... Like, if he doesn't want to be there, just let him go. We don't need him. It's weird.
But I just feel...
I thought he was going back to Argentina.
But that was what? And then suddenly, I think they suddenly perked up that other clubs fucking wanted him. But I just feel exhausted from it. And I hate myself for, you know, like, we're getting so distracted that the world has gone fucking mental. So you almost cling to United for that bit of sanctuary and it's not providing that. And I feel like just weary with it. Or really, seriously, like, it's doing my head in properly.
But it's not going to, I think, you know, we're going to have little peaks and troughs along
the way. When's the peaks?
But it's not going to fundamentally, well, things like PSG and Little getting third place, but it's not going to fundamentally change until the way the football clubs run.
Yeah, but Shane, you just said fucking that is a peak, is a result, one result in Paris and finishing third. If that is a fucking peak,
I'm not saying that's right for Man United football club, but it is what it is, and it is where we are. And I think it's not going to change until something more fundamental changes. And I think, you know, we can change managers, but we know a new manager may get more out of the resources that are at hand.
Well, I think
they're still going to have one arm behind their back.
I just feel like there's an inevitability to it, but I'm almost like I've had a placid night, calm, and I feel like I'm going to fucking go a bit frenzied, Jack Nicholson in The Shining or something. It's just driving, but nothing sums it up. You know, like Cavani's coming. Okay, well, that's Igalo gone. He looks fat and he's out of condition. Whatever peak he had has gone. I thought, well, that's it. We're going to send him back to China now. You know, I don't know if their games are at... Oh, no, he's still here as well. So how the fuck does Igalo get a game? Not that you'd want it to happen, but how many... We've got 31 players.
We've just got him until January now, haven't
we? Yeah, but... send it, you know, just end it now. Say, come on.
It's the basket case of a squad means that, like, you'd have to do the accounts, but the wage bill must be horrendous. Like,
well, it's the second biggest.
Of Man United must be grim. And you think, actually, if you had someone, a proper, whether it's a director of football or just some footballing nous on the board, they'd be kind of managing that and making sure we got the optimal number of players, you know, we're getting value for it. And then you could afford the Sancho, you know.
But someone said, I had a little bit of a disagreement on Twitter, you know, bizarrely, that Pereira, we gave him a new deal 15 months ago and someone went, well, it's business, you know, when we get a fee. But the fee we get won't fucking equate to his wages. And also, we didn't give him a contract for that. We gave him a contract because Ollie and everyone was saying he's a first teamer. He's, you know, integral to our midfield plans. The one thing, you know, fans are called short-sighted. Everyone knew Pereira wasn't up to it 2 years ago or more. Not our standard. You know, ridiculous.
The thing is with Pereira, though, is that I just wonder, because Ole's got this such a stigma about the youth academy. If we'd have signed him from another, he never would have stayed. I think he only kept him on because he was part of the youth academy, and that's why he persevered with him.
Maybe.
I think he is. That's just kind of what he is. I think, realistically, I'm trying to think of things to be a bit more positive about, because, I mean, everything that we do with United is a little bit negative and stuff, and I know it is because it is shit. You know, I know you mentioned about these two kids before, and I know we've been tracking them for an awful long time, but as you quite rightly said before, Nathan, I genuinely don't think that we would have signed all these players if we hadn't been beaten so badly at the weekend. You probably would have seen Cavani and Sellers coming, and that probably would have been it. But to see these extra additions as well with these wingers just feels like it's a little bit rushed, that we know we need a right winger and we know we need a bit more up front or whatever. So we've just kind of gone out, and it has been an actual panic buy. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the shame in Manchester, the Paddy Power thing. What they've done to take the piss out of Woodward.
No, I haven't seen it.
They've done a big shop front on Ed Woodward's panic buys and the wheel shopping of going round. I'll send you the picture, but check it out, because it's very funny what they've done opposite the town hall in Manchester. But, I mean, in terms of positivity at the moment, and I don't know what your take is on this for you three, but I was really thinking about this in the second half against Spurs. I would replace De Gea now. I think I'm at that point where...
Henderson deserves to play.
Henderson's got to come in now.
Yeah, you can't keep...
I don't think he will swap him, but if it was me, I definitely would, because I just think... For me, at United, we conceded 11 goals in the first three league games, which is just ridiculous. And you shouldn't keep your job after that. I'm not saying all the goals are his fault or whatever, but he plays a part in that. We're obviously going to place a left-back with Telles. You know, you can try and chop and change the centre-halves around alongside Maguire, but we don't have the capability to do that. And I don't think any of us would want to replace Wan-Bissaka. But you've got to do something differently. And if it's organising the defence by putting Henderson in there, who's had two pretty decent games in the League Cup so far, albeit against lesser opposition, you know, he's obviously experienced in the Premier League. I would throw him in there and see what happens. I think that's what we've got. We need to have now some sort of faith of going forward that could be something that sorts that defence out.
The way you're going, you put Henderson and De Gea in. Can you do that? Can you pick two goalies and just say, fucking go on the net, use your feet or whatever? Because
no,
it's fucking...
I put Henderson and Romero.
But generally, you know, I have this bizarre fetish of watching old press conferences. January 2020, Ollie, Harry Maguire has great authority.
Doesn't seem like it, does it? Like, this stuff that came out about the reason why I do it at half-time and stuff, it wouldn't surprise me if it was true.
But there's a bizarre, you know, like, I think Ollie has an issue. He doesn't want to confront the Pogba problem. He knows probably that it cost Jose ultimately that was part of the final downfall. But you shouldn't be taking Fernandes off at half time.
No, but
should be Pogba. Pogba shouldn't even start at Newcastle, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the news that's coming out is that he took Bruno because he was kicking off at
I'm always a bit wary of things like that. I haven't heard about it. But you just don't know. Like, we've got a thing in the mag. There is a lack of discipline happening at the club at the moment.
It's not necessarily true, but I wouldn't be surprised.
But the thing, Mark Seller, who's giddy, I mean, he takes a day off for transfer deadline day usually, like cock out, dressed in yellow, so fucking excited for it. And we said, didn't we, in the Sellers group, Mark, you're not even commenting, and he's went, I'm going to bed at 9. It's just like, even the most ardent, you know, Woodward will pull it out this time, just said, fuck it, this is going to be a complete shit show.
When has Woodward pulled it out? Here's a
question. I have to get one of these in to cheer us up. Who's the most famous naked person you've ever seen? And I'll say mine.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life. I was in a sauna once at the club I went to. Gym. I hasten to add gym, not club. That sounds wrong. And Alexi Sale came in, stark bollock naked, and started talking to me. And I thought, this is a bloke. Hello, John, got a new motor. I was growing up, was a bit of a hero. And he's stark bollock naked, and I'm sitting on the lower level, and he's one up. So his cock was on my eyesight. And I thought, how do you make small talk in this situation? So he's my one and only.
People should start by saying, I'm sorry that I've sat me.
So have we got any naked celebs? No? No.
I'll have a think, but I don't think so.
Right. The other thing, I've only been out 3 times, as you can probably tell, since March. And I've met Shane. And in the groups of 6 that we've had, a couple of the lads have said they've struggled mentally. And I think we all have. So it's hard to go glib to serious, but it's a really difficult time for everyone. To make, you know, ignore the United part. Just these couple of decent lads, they listen to this, we love you. But everyone is having it tough. So you just almost got to, like, dig in and know that, have a chat, it's shit at the moment. You know, it is proper shit. It feels weird. You know, we go back into our United clothes when the world is bonkers outside. So maybe, but as I keep saying, if it was all shit, but we were winning, at least we had a smile on our faces. If United are going to be terrible, it's going to be horrendous for our moods. And United can affect our moods, can't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's I've luckily been going. I've always gone to watch them, but like the local team near me, like because it's non-league, we're able to go and watch them, and that's a nice little outlet when you can't go and watch at like go to United. So that's helping. But I know what you mean. It's like especially if things start locking down a bit more again, and the dark evenings and stuff, it's going to be grim. So just have to hope that we do turn it around in terms of United, just because it does help a bit, doesn't it, I guess?
I bet the defence hasn't been as bad in the shit that you've been, the level you've been watching, as bad as Luke Shaw. But see, like, do any of you count, am I being petty? When Brighton scored and Ollie looked at the screen, I felt a bit inverted. Everything went inside me a little bit. Oh, that's not a good look.
I think that's the thing. You want someone to look visible on the touchline, don't you? And
he might not be watching United. That might be his get out. He's watching fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm or Sopranos. He might be like, fuck this.
Well, I'm not being funny. If I was at fucking Brighton Man United, I'd have been probably watching something else. I think that's a bit harsh. I think at the end of the day, you always judge what happens on the pitch. Like, I think managers, you know, you might want to see a bit of passion, but I think it's only a thing because we're not doing well. I think if we were winning...
were saying this even during the Europa run and that. His game management, he doesn't affect games, Shane.
But I think whether he sits down and rants or not. But yeah, I think it's fair to say about the substitutions and tactics and things, but I don't think gesticulating on the touchline or not is a material... You know, that's not something that bothers me. But I think the tactics are question. You know, I think particularly in defence now, we seem to not have. If something goes wrong in a game, there doesn't seem to be a way of turning that game or changing. You know, other than the odd individual like Bruno in that. If we look back at that decent run, it was often Bruno dragging the team forward, and it becomes reliant on one individual. And you know, if they hit, that form falls away a little bit, which it does with players. It's only natural. No one else is stepping up. Like Pogba's shown now, he's not. He can have a steady game, but he's not that player.
Can you point one out, Shane? When was that? When was that steady game?
No, you know what I mean. But what I'm trying to say is he's not a player to sort of set. He's not a player to single-handedly drag us forward. You know, you can think of a handful of not even a handful. But so I just think we're lacking a lot of leaders on the pitch. And I think Ollie's not really got a plan B. But he goes out in a certain way.
Whatever wall they hit with the Europa and League, they've not got over. You know, that they're just fucking... And that's not an excuse. But I get what you're saying, Shane, but when we went 3-1 down against Spurs, everyone would be kicking cats at their house. You know, we were all ranting and raving. I would expect at that moment for Ollie to fucking come out and give them a bollocking or say, what the fuck is going on? I get the ranting and raving if you won all or... But there comes a time when that team has to be told they are absolutely being a disgrace. You cannot...
Especially... when there's an empty stadium and the fans aren't doing it for him. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we were in that stadium, I know the players know anyway, but we wouldn't let them get away with it. Whereas if they're in an empty stadium, you need someone who is calling them out on it, and the manager's not doing that at times, is it?
I will say...
Like, that's one thing, it's like... Has he always had the little screen, or is that something that's come in since?
I think it's more prominent. They had it last season. I think they were allowed to watch highlights last season, but I think it's more because obviously there's no...
It just seems odd that, like, would he... Do you think it is because there's no one in the crowd and he's just, like, he feels like he can just sit there, he's not pressured by the fans to look more...
Yeah, or it's his default, you know, like, I'm going to look at this to try and think. But there's nothing that is going to show you. You know, you can't, like, Luke, watch this, you were shit.
He goes to the touchline, but he doesn't. It's
I will weird. Quick, I'm just going to quickly say.
If you're on the screen, that's fine, but one of your coaches doing it or something. But if you see the two best managers in the league in Klopp and Guardiola, they're not sat in the dugout feeling sorry for themselves, are they? The Brighton have equalised in the 90th minute. You know, they'd be up on the touchline, they'd be running down it, throttling the players. And, you know, at the moment, while we've got no leaders in the dressing room, and already said it from different people as well, saying at Highbury United have said that they don't feel like they've got any leaders within the team as well, then, you know, the manager's got to show that leadership. And if he's not showing it on the touchline, then how on earth can he expect his players to do it? So I feel like he's got to show some of the blame here. He's obviously not completely innocent, and I don't think we're probably... criticising Ole as much as what it should be, because as Shane says, you know, he sets them up in a way to go out, but there isn't really seemingly that plan B from him. So I just think that he probably needs a little bit of a kick up the arse, but he needs to be getting up off his seat, definitely. It's like, I appreciate Fergie didn't do it too much at home, but certainly away from home, he was out of his dugout and jumping up and down. You know, he was reminiscent when Brighton equalised of Moyes towards the end of his tenure. You know, when he was just sat on his seat and we were getting beat up someone like Sunderland.
Please don't tip me over the edge.
And he looked defeated.
We're just... you have a go at me sometimes for watching Doctor Who.
On a tangent, the sending off, like, I know, like, Martial shouldn't have raised his hands, but, like, it's just when you know... It's just the moral... And I know it doesn't help that United were playing badly and we got stuffed, but it's so demoralising to see a grown man like be tapped on the cheek and just fall down on his knees like he's been punched by Mike.
No, it was pathetic.
It's just so depressing to watch. But you kind of think, why the hell do we invest in this game? You know, our energy and time.
But that's what I've
grown men do that. Yeah,
that's what I keep thinking, Shane. You know that they shouldn't get us like this. But I just feel so frenzied and sad about it. But you say, you know, like if Marshall had stayed on. We're still getting fucking dicked. You know, that is. But I will quickly say... I will quickly say we've had a couple of words from Doug, Barge, Alan. Thanks for the support. And I got a letter, an actual letter, which always excites me. Who gets a letter these days? Dear Red News, who's sub-renewed, it's Robert. And I was lucky enough to have hold an LMTB, then a season ticket from 1990 to 2016, when circumstances dictated that my match-going days came to an end. Both fanzines that survive, as was Red Issue, are vital for the perspective of genuine match-goers, and I like to keep up to speed with opinions of real match-goers. And then he just says, keep up the good work, and I look forward to reading further issues, along with listening to the podcast. So hopefully, because I don't want to fucking just... put people on a bigger downer. Pull up to my bumper, baby, Nick. Give me some fucking hope.
I still think it lies with Henderson. Still think it does. I think that's the thing that I'm clinging to at the moment. I think it's great that we've got Telles. I do. I've seen him in maybe two matches, and he looked all right, to be fair. I think they were Europa League games, but still. So I'm quite buoyed that we don't need to see any more of that fat mess of Luke Shaw at left back, because he's a disgrace.
We're going to see him at centre back. So yeah, left sided.
What's that, sorry?
We're going to see him at the left sided five. Trust me.
And I can cope with him there because the best player for United since he broke his leg has been in that position. Definitely. You know, he looks like he can easily defend if he's not asked to do any running or anything. But the fact that he gets pulled out of position so much just baffles me. I think the other bits of hope as well is we're still not seeing anything from Donny. You know, I think they can have been real to provide for us. You look at the Brighton game. He did more in the 5 minutes when he came on than Pogba did in an hour in that match. I think that's something that's got to be a massive positive for us as well. He literally didn't look defeated after the equaliser. He went straight down the other end of the pitch and won the corner that led to the penalty. And the best thing is about Man United, as always, that always will be, is you can win in such a fashion of Brighton and score a winner after the final whistle's gone. And people's cages just get so rattled. I don't know about you, I'm fortunate enough to work in the centre of Manchester and I work with a lot of City fans. And I can tell you safely that going into the office that Monday morning, my word, were they rattled. There was nibbles everywhere. It was fantastic. But that's what I love about Man United is that we can still cause them, even though we're so shit, everyone just still gets obsessed with us and they just still get rattled by things like whatever they've said to me, even after all this crap with getting hammered by Spurs, it's been great because I've said, yeah, but have you ever won a game after the final whistle's gone? No, you're not. We're Man United at the end of the day. And that's the beauty of this football club. That's how fucking good we are. So yeah, you know, if you want any positivity, there's your fucking positivity.
Right, Nick, feed that down the line and I'll inject it into my veins. And can you fucking give the team talk against Newcastle? Because you've just got me bouncing again.
But the thing is, this is what we do with Ole. We have a string of shit results and he pulls it out of the bag for 15 matches or so. And we'll go on a brilliant run and we'll build a few people and we're just about to get all our hopes back up and they'll come crashing back down to earth as we get beat off Burnley when we play them again. Because I've beaten them in about 9 years at home. And then, you know, we'll go on another run again for 15 matches. And then, you know, I think we'll win a cup this year. I'm still positive about that. Whether it's the League Cup or whatever it is, I still think that we'll win a trophy this year. And I'm clinging to that. And Ole really needs it. I still don't think that he'll go. I don't think there's any changes, as Shane said, while the ownership's the same. But at the moment, yeah, there's still things to be positive about. And Cavani as well. I think if he can come in, I think he'll be better than Falcao, maybe not quite as good as Latam. But if he can come in and start scoring some goals as well, that's someone we've got to side back, surely.
But we've got to get the ball to him, though, in the right areas. We don't do that enough.
Fernandes will, and I think Donny will.
Right. Okay.
I think they both will do.
I'm not pissing on your parade, but to try and be, there comes a point if Ollie keeps, you know, getting himself in a hole that one day you're not going to dig yourself out. And the second thing, I think Ed, like he had with Jose, will have a Pochettino itch. And I don't want it. I think if we are feeling like this in a month's time, Ed will save his face. And I think we'll all feel a little bit like, I don't know, our optimism, where's it gone? Where's where you've just said it gone? I don't know, I just feel fucking flat. Nathan?
It's a bad start, but remember, there's still been no pre-season about it, and this international break's a good time to get all the players bedded into the squad. I don't know what's going to go on with quarantine and stuff like that, but you know, it gives them time to bed into the squad, it gives other people time to have international experience and go off and play some football, and come back rested and rejuvenated.
But Nick, our joy has been in the League Cup. But if you're moaning about a pre-season, which most clubs have faced, I get that we had less with Europa, then why didn't you play the first team in the League Cup to get fitness up to date?
I don't know. I would have done that.
I think...
Shane, you're fist pump. Come on.
I think Nick's got a good point with the optimism. I think the Dutch lad's got to start playing. Maybe he didn't want to sort of rush him in, but you've got to remember, he's played at a higher level in recent seasons than most of our players. He had a great Champions League run with Ajax. You know, he's been at the centre of that team. So I think he should be starting. And
he's had the pre-season under his belt as well.
Yeah, and the cameo he's had so far, he's a decent.
Even more.
And lads, we've got Phil Jones to come back. Do you know what? Do you know what his current thing is? It's listed as. It just says ill. It doesn't even list an injury. It just says ill.
I saw something on Twitter saying earlier, and again, usually ignore this shite, but at the moment you're sort of locked down, you've got time to read anything. And someone said, if Donald Trump does totally lose it if he's not already, and presses the button, and nuclear Armageddon kind of falls out. Phil Jones, it'll end up the only man standing in the centre circle at Old Trafford will be Phil Jones, you know, just on his own. I just don't understand what the, you know, he just doesn't seem to have a role at the club. But
there's half a dozen of those, Shane. I mean, that's just where it's such bad management, contract management. I'm going to go Nathan and then Nick. End on a high note, because everyone needs a bit of fucking smiling. So Nathan, you hit us back down to earth, and then Nick chiff us back up.
Until today, when I realised that a lot of the players that we've signed are going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks, I was sort of gutted that we're not playing this weekend, because it would have been good to see them, but they wouldn't have been able to have played anyway. But I don't know. You've just got to see, haven't you? And like Cavani coming in, hopefully he'll do all right. And you never know. But I don't know. I've not got. We'll see.
I say Banksy. There is always hope. And with United, we've travelled much further, darker days than ever than all this. But I'm a bit bereft of hope at the moment, I'll be honest with you. Nick, chip us up.
I think you've got more chance, Barney. The optimistic thing for me, sorry to interrupt, is that you've got more chance of seeing United before you resume your naked celebrity stalking and saunas. I think
that'll be my one and out, Shane. I don't think there'll be another one. It could have all the chances if I'd been in Germany with Mick Saunders, but instead I got Alexi Sell. Come on, Nick. Come on, give us a fist pump. Give us a team talk.
I'm just really excited that I don't need to see Martial in 50 games a season up top in that position. And I think, to be honest, everyone should be really buoyed about that, because he's a lazy, lazy bastard.
Please don't.
In all seriousness, I am excited about Cavani. You know, I hope we get the kind of player out of him that he was a couple of years ago as well. I haven't seen much of him in France, I'll be honest. So I'm interested to be like, but you know, from off memory, from when I have seen him in the past, and from what John was saying in the sellers group and stuff today, you know, he does a lot of chasing down, and you know, if he can do all that closing now, hopefully it can inspire the rest of the team to do that. But I still think the main thing is that we need Donny more involved. We need to find out, you know, if he's worth his 40 million quid. He was the first signing. There's obviously a fair bit of planning that's gone into that signing. There must be a real reason why we brought him in, because it was a position that none of us really thought about strengthening massively anyway, when you've got Pogba and Fernandes in that kind of role. So there's still loads to be positive about. And I think that now we've had these few games, it's time to just get that underneath us and make sure that we come back after the international break recuperated and ready to play some football when everyone's got a few more minutes under the belt a little bit. But like you say, the main thing for me that was baffling is that, as I was saying before, Van der Beek had a pre-season under him with Ajax. He'd been playing regular football, and the rest of the team hadn't, and I don't understand why we didn't bring him in. So I still think that he's got something massively to offer the squad, and he looks like a bright spark with a few nice touches against Brighton in the League Cup as well. If we can give Henderson a bit of a run in the team, I'll definitely be feeling more confident, because I don't think I can watch De Gea anymore. You know, he just depresses me when I look at him. He looks lost, like he doesn't want to be there. And I think we've got a perfectly good, young, feisty, hard bastard English goalkeeper there that's, you know, willing to dish out some shit. I don't know if you know, but he actually got in trouble with some Shrewsbury Town fans, I think it was, when he was there. Was he on loan at Shrewsbury?
I can't remember, sorry.
And he basically ended up throwing some stuff in the Blackburn Rovers away end at the fans, and started shouting, and started getting aggressive with the fans, and because they started teasing him and tormenting him while he was in the goal, and he just ended up turning back and started throwing stuff back at the fans. So he's obviously quite a fiery one, so I can imagine that he's not going to take any shit from the centre half play or any fucking fat bastard lazy play from Luke Shaw with his bra on or whatever. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in goal. I want to see him have a run now. I think that's what'll get me excited about United going forward.
All right, it bit of meander, so the players have switched off, mate. If you're doing that before Newcastle, they're on their phones. Fucking who would you play Maguire with going forward? Lindelof or Bailly, or neither, or bring back Rocco.
Do you know what? I'll give you a technical answer. It'll depend on which centre forward's up front. If you're playing against a big physical centre forward, you know, I'd be playing Bailly. If you're playing against someone like a Danny Ings, maybe, who's a bit smaller and not as physical, I probably would play Lindelof. So I guess it depends. It's more of a matchup-based play, I'll say. I'll go on the fence.
Right. Come on, last thoughts. Anyone? Hope? Kills?
I'm excited to see what these young lads are like that we've signed. The one from Atalanta that we don't get until January, do we? But there must be something special about him. They've been watching him for a few years, and you know, they've given some decent money for him. So,
well, it's good. It's good. Know, the youth scouting has got
to be. Last thing, we can't. A lot of people have complained about like us signing Cavani because of his age, but then in the same window, we've signed a couple of really young kids. So, yeah. Like, you know, we've done one extreme and the other, and maybe the fact that we've not signed someone in the middle is a bit frustrating. But, you know, if we've got some positive young kids that we can start bringing through again, then I'm all up for that.
Well, the scouting at the kids is obviously getting its act together at long last. So make them fucking take over the whole caboodle, you know. But until Woodward's... Mm-hmm. changes his role. We haven't had the director of football briefing today. Shane, final word?
Yeah, I think, Van Beek, I think he's going to be a good player.
Van Beek, has he changed his name? Van Beek.
Pardon?
Van Beek, not Bake. It's not Bake Off.
I think it's pronounced Bake, not Bake.
Oh, all right, John Mutson.
I don't know.
Fuck off.
Until Nick said, my lad sort of says Tellez went in and play is decent. I haven't seen much of him. So I think, you know, there's two promising, you know, signings there. And, you know, who knows, you know, with some more competition up front and some experience, that might, as Nick said, it might shape it up. So, yeah, I think we just need to get a convincing win. And as Nick said, you know, we are capable of going on a decent run. So.
That sounded like Moyes. We just need to improve our passing, our defensive work, our play, our goal scoring. Put in 82 crosses at Newcastle. All right, cheers, lads. Have a good night and take care, everyone listening, please. I know it's tough. Bye.
See ya.
See ya.